A baptism is a wonderful thing. It's special and it's great for the person getting baptized. It's a memory. It's an obedience. It's an act of devotion to God. For the church, they're exciting. It's why people clap and cheer. It's why people celebrate. It's a reminder that God saves, that God is saving and changing people's lives. It's an encouragement to everyone to see people make this statement of testimony, of what God has done in their lives, the fact that they want to live for him and to follow him. To hear, for us to hear for ourselves a little more, bit more about what God has been doing in their lives. Or maybe you just find the whole thing a little bit strange, a little bit odd, getting into a big bath of water to be lowered down and back up again. Well, maybe you think that, but I think they're exciting. But I can see that they might also be a little bit confusing. Maybe the singing you find a little bit strange. Maybe you know the odd pop song that if push came to shove, you could get up at a karaoke and sing most of the lines. Maybe you know a football chant or two, but maybe just a little bit confused about the singing and the joy of these songs. Well, maybe that is true for you. We're going to read some verses that are found in Isaiah chapter 53. And Isaiah is a book in the Old Testament of the Bible. And we're going to read from verses 2 to 9. If you can read Ukrainian, it's on the screen. But otherwise, there's nothing on the screen for you today. All right. And it says this. He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem, and surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God and stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence and nor was any deceit in his mouth. These words are written in the Old Testament. They were written years before the birth of Jesus. We're getting ready for Christmas, aren't we? Slowly the shops are, at least. But this was written years before Jesus came along, but they're definitely written about Jesus. Let me just talk through them a little, for they're describing Jesus, the one who has changed the life of those that we have seen get baptized today. And it's for Jesus that we have seen three rational, sane, and yet very different people get baptized today. Verse 2 of what we read tells us there was nothing special to look at about Jesus. He was perhaps at best physically ordinary. We live in a culture, don't we, that's obsessed with image. But Jesus here was perhaps ordinary to look at. Verse 3 says he was despised and rejected. He knew what suffering looked and felt like, for people used to hide from him. People would perhaps not have consciously looked at him. Maybe he was not pleasant on the eye and perhaps even uncomfortable to look at. He was despised, which means he was treated with contempt. And we had no esteem for Jesus, no honour for him, no honour or praise, no high or good opinion of this man. But yet he, the one that nobody looked at, the one who people looked, if anything, looked down upon, he took our suffering. He takes our suffering. And he takes it as a sacrifice. He takes the punishment that was ours from God and takes it upon himself. It's like he gets in the way. He gets in the way of what is due to come to us. He takes our punishment. We read that he was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. even if you're not sure what transgressions or iniquities might mean. It doesn't sound very good, does it? That he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. He took actual physical pain and punishment that was due for us, and he willingly took it upon himself. And in doing that, by that, we are healed. The fact that he is punished for our sins means that we don't need to be punished for them, for we are healed. Our sins are forgiven because of the act of somebody else, because of the act of Jesus, who we weren't even sure we wanted to look at, with no higher honour of him, no opinion of him, but yet he was sacrificed for us. He died for us. And why is it that we need this? Well, we read in verse 6 that we, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way. We've done our own thing. We all know what that looks like in our own lives. We'll have done different things. We'll have lived different lives. But we know that we've all done our own thing. We've pushed God out, not bothered, not being concerned about the things that God wants of us, not concerned about the way that God has asked of us to live. We've done what we wanted. We've lived how we've liked. This does not mean that all of our actions are sinful. But we are also at the same time aware of our pride and our lies and our selfishness, let alone the bigger things that have blighted the lives of some of us. Maybe for some, addiction or greed, unfaithfulness, theft, acts of violence. We know where these things fall in our world. We know the things that we are guilty of, for we have all done our own thing. Those that have got baptized today and visually demonstrated that their old life is gone and the new has begun. Why? For the Lord has laid their iniquity and the iniquity of all of us on Jesus. Jesus got in the way. He bore the brunt, shouldered the cost to leave us forgiven and free. We've been singing about that in those songs, that we are free because of what Jesus has accomplished for us. What was the cost to Jesus to do that? Well, we read that he was oppressed and afflicted, but yet did not open his mouth. He did not protest. He did not fight back. For he didn't die on the cross because he was weak, but he died on the cross in strength that he surrendered, so as we can go free. He saw our need of a saviour and so offered himself to be that for us so that we can go free. Verse 7 read that he was led like a lamb to the slaughter, silent, mouth closed, no protest, just sacrifice. Jesus saw our need of a saviour and came to be just that. Verse 8 says that for the transgressions of the wicked, he was punished. For the transgressions of me, of Claire, of Emily, of Michelle, of all of us. He was punished. He was punished. This is why we sing. This is why we sing. So maybe you think, I don't get why they sing so much. I don't get why they sing with joy. Well, this is why we sing. For the Son of God, no less, loves us so much, so, so much, that he died in our place. And he did it willingly for us, so as to set us free, so as to forgive us, so as to restore us, so that we may be free of our sin, free of our old life, that we may live a new life with Jesus. The one without violence in his heart or in his life, the one without deceit in his mouth, died for us, and he died for you. We've heard testimony of that from these three women today, but it's true for all of us, isn't it? That Jesus died for all of us. Jesus died for you. Maybe this is the first time you've been in church in your life. Maybe it's the first time in a long time. Well, Jesus died for you. He died for you because he loves you. These verses will have been read many, many times over. Isaiah 53 is a famous passage in the Bible. But we also read in the book of Acts in chapter 8, as a book in the New Testament, that they were read at that time too. And here they are read by an Ethiopian man. And if you're not sure what we've read through, well, he wasn't so sure either. At least he didn't understand what he was reading. Acts chapter 8, verse 30 to 38 says, Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And this is the passage of scripture that the man was reading. he was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before its shearer is silent, he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. And who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And the man asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in my way of being baptized? And so he gave orders to stop the chariot. And then both Philip and the man went down into the water and Philip baptized him. Maybe there was enough water in Withall this week to have done this by the side of the road. I don't know. But they got out and this man was baptized because he'd heard something about someone making a sacrifice for him. And he heard that it was Jesus. Somebody making a sacrifice for him that he could go free. He didn't understand it at first. Maybe there was so much he still didn't understand, but he understood enough at this moment to know that Jesus had been a sacrifice for him. And so he gave him his life. He gave him his life. We've baptized three people today. We've baptized them not because they somehow deserve it or because they have decided, and so have we, that they've passed the test, that they're now up to the mark, that they're good enough somehow to be baptized. No, no. We've baptized them on the profession of their faith in Jesus. They recognize their need of a saviour and they see that a saviour has come. And maybe there are lots of things that they still don't know. There's lots of things we all don't know. But they understood enough to see that Jesus was led like a lamb to the slaughter so as he could be punished in their place. I don't know exactly what Philip told the Ethiopian man in that carriage, but I think he told him that Jesus came to die for him, that Jesus came to be the punishment of sins for him. The man believed it, and that was enough. That was enough. They stopped the chariot, he got out and was baptized. So, having heard about Jesus, what about you? And you might say, well, there's lots of things I don't know. I don't even know where to find that book of Isaiah in the Bible. Well, don't worry about that. There's lots of things that we all don't know. But what we do need to know is this, that we need a saviour. For we deserve to be punished for our sins, whatever they are and however many they are. And so Jesus, the Son of God, no less, came and bore the price of that on the cross, having been led like a lamb to the slaughter. Put your hope and trust in that, and that is enough. That is enough. So what about you? What about you? Put your hope and your trust in Jesus. I've still got my towel out there. I can soon get changed again. Because that's enough. That's enough. Jesus Christ came to save you from your sins. What's baptism? Saying Jesus Christ has come and died for my sins. He is my Saviour. Let me pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you that he came to be that sacrifice for our sins. He came to bear the punishment for the things that we have done wrong. He was perfect. There's no anger or malice in his heart, no deceit in his mouth. He was perfect. And yet he was led like a lamb to the slaughter without protest, without a fight. Not because he was weak, but in his strength, he surrendered himself to die on a cross that we may go free, to bring us back to life. And so, Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that that invitation was there to that Ethiopian man all those years after those verses were written. That in reading that and having been explained to him what it was about, that he gave his life to Christ and was baptized on that day. Father, I thank you that that invitation still rests today. That we don't need to have all of our questions answered. We don't need to know the beginning and the end of everything. We just need to know that we need a saviour. We just need to know that we need saving because of our sins, whatever they are and how many they are. And that the invitation is to repent of our sins, to confess them to you, to repent of them, which is to ask you to forgive us and desire to live differently, that the old life has gone and the new has begun. And Father, I thank you that your word tells us that you are faithful and just. And on the confession of our sins, you are mighty and gracious. You forgive us and restore us. and welcome us into the kingdom of God. Much like the man on the cross that day, on seeing who Jesus was, the reply was, "Today you will be with me in paradise." For the Ethiopian man in a chariot, confused, there was a point in his life where he stopped being confused and saw how wonderful the Saviour is, gave his life to Christ and was baptized that day. Father, I thank you that for all of us today, the invitation and the opportunity is the same. To see our need of a Saviour, to confess all of our sins, to receive the power and the grace of sins forgiven, an old life that is gone and a new that has begun, and live our lives following you, close to you, knowing you, praising you for how good and great you are. Father, I pray that you would help us and lead us. Amen.